Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man. It's a glorious day. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Maybe you got the day off. Coming home, relaxing. Crazy, crazy times we live in, people. We're heading there. And by that, I mean to a Trump presidency that is just a few days away. And, you know, we were just talking off air, and I found this to be, this whole thing seems to be very interesting with Trump. And I'm not just talking about, okay, the presidency and all this stuff. I'm talking about he's going to be living a life he's not used to. You know, we were reading something about Michelle Obama says, you know what? I can't wait to open a window. I can't wait to walk outside my door and not have a bunch of people around me and ask me how my day is. I can't wait for all of these things to happen. It's a captured lifestyle in a lot of ways. You are a capture of your presidency. Your family is captured within your presidency. There is no normalcy. Everywhere you go, you travel with a press corps. Everywhere you go, you travel with lots of people protecting you. Everywhere you go, you are told where to go, when to go, how to go, because you've got things you've got to get to, and stuff's been scheduled for you. And I think Trump is going to find it to be at times frustrating. And the other thing I was thinking about with President Trump, President-elect Trump, is he's used to being in the nitty-gritty of details in a lot of this stuff. Yes, you pass things off to your people and they go, but when it comes to the nitty-gritty, he's used to that. In this situation, running something that is 1,000 times bigger than your corporation, no matter how big it is, you are going to have people negotiating on your behalf as your mouthpiece. And I think there's going to be issues there. I think he's going to find it to be a very captured lifestyle. I think he's going to find it to be very frustrating at times. But at the same time, I think he's going to open up things the way that we've never seen before. I really do. I think he's going to open up a lot of stuff in this. I really think he's going to do some stuff. You know, talking about the press corps today, and I found this to be very interesting, that, you know, people are worried about the press. He wants to open up the press corps more. He wants to include more people inside the press corps. He wants to make it bigger. He wants to expand it. Is that interesting? I find it to be interesting. I find it extremely interesting that he wants that. He wants to apparently be transparent. We are so many people out there are already so committed into the failure of this president, like a lot of people were committed to the failure of Barack Obama. It is amazing that we get anything done in this country. But this lifestyle and this whole new genre of, I mean, this whole new way that he's got to live his life, this the way that he's got to accept the fact that, you know what, he's got to do certain things. He's got to shake hands still and kiss babies. He's got to still go out there and do a lot of stuff that it's lip service, and it may not be the nitty gritty of what he wants to do. And I think it's going to be very interesting to watch how he accepts the fact that, yes, he's a huge part of who we are in America and as Americans, but a lot of that stuff that he wants to do, which is I want to do this and I want to do that, he'll be a figurehead in a lot of those, and he will sign off on a lot of those. But how much of that is going to be his negotiation? He's not sitting in there. You don't think somebody's going to call him up and go, all right, here's what they're offering. Like it's a trade, you know? They're offering us 3 number one picks for the number one pick and our 2 picks next year in the second and third round. Like, that's not the way it's going to be. And I think that's going to be very frustrating to him in this. I think that's going to be extremely frustrating because I think he wants to play a part in all of this stuff. And you're going to realize that there's only so much of you to go around. And that isn't always going to be possible. Interesting? Of course it's interesting. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know. You know, it's the Oxfam. The guy that runs Oxfam has come out and said how grotesque it is that 8 men in this world own as much as 3.6 billion people around the world. 8 men. 8 horrible white men-ish, because I think there's Carlos Slim and another Spaniards on there, so we can't call them all white men, but that they're evil and that this is obscene. But if here's the thing. Somebody makes $200,000 a year, has a net worth of $1 million, probably is worth more than a lot of people put together around the world. When you live on 50 cents a day, you living paycheck to paycheck probably have a bigger net worth than most people around the world. Is it obscene? I don't find it obscene. I find it, again, why do we care what other people make? Why is it such a big deal? And the funny thing is, how much money has Bill Gates and Warren Buffett decided to give away? Isn't it everything? Which, for all intents and purposes, will do virtually nothing for a lot of places. Because we're not transferring over the thing. Bill, don't give me your money. Give me your mind. Bill, don't give me your money. Show me how you got to where. Bill, don't give me your money. Warren, show us how you got to be this investor. Show us about how this work ethic. Show us those things. It's obscene. And now it's getting even worse because, of course, we have a billionaire. Oh, in the White House. Bill Gates' net worth, $75 billion. Amancio Ormancino Ortega, he's the, he is the Spanish founder of the fashion house Inditex. Financier Warren Buffett, Mexican businessman Carlos Slim, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Oracle's Larry Ellison and Bloomberg round out this. What would you want them to do? I mean, I'm curious about this. I've always asked people, look, what do you want rich people to do who are successful, who started their company from nothing, who've built the company up to something, who've poured tens of millions of man hours themselves into stuff, who've done all of these things, and the stock has made them who they are because investors think they're a good bet. What do you want them to do? I think that's a very fair question. And again, you know what? You got a net worth of $1 million here in America. You're probably worth more than, you know, 2 or 3 million people combined somewhere. Because they got nothing. They got nothing. Like, get over it. I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed at the insanity of why we are so terrified of wealth and this stuff. Why are we terrified? What about wealth scares everybody? Well, people who have it do what? What does Bill Gates do besides try to help people? What does Warren Buffett do? Is Warren Buffett financing a war somewhere that we don't know about? Jeff Bezos' war is against retail and the way that we shop, but I don't really find that to be dangerous. Carlos Slim? Jeff Zuckerberg? Bloomberg, there was a war on fat people, right? And choice, because he wanted to take away your opportunities to purchase larger beverages. But like, what do these men do that is so heinous? They've made many, many other people millionaires. They've given lots of people jobs. Why is this like always such a big deal that they're worth more than 3.6 billion people on earth? And we have to shame them for it. And they need to pay their fair share of taxes. And they need to pay more than their fair share. And they need to continue to pay their fair. In fact, they need to just give all of their money away to everybody. But guess what? Within a couple of years, you know, if they want to, they'll all be rich again. And those people that got the money, they won't have gotten the thing that they needed the most, which was the knowledge. But we forget that. Again, sorry. I'm sorry. We forget that. Yes, you're right. We should just shoot them all and take their money because that'll make everybody better. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can email the show, text the show, tweet the show. A lot of people tweeting it about the age because I went this weekend to, took little Jack to Legoland, and a father brought two young girls into the men's bathroom that they were young, yes, but they were too old to be in the men's bathroom. And what is that age? A lot of people saying 7 or 8. Yeah, look, if you absolutely have to, but when you're 12 and 13, you could stand out there by yourself. You really can. We're worried about trans people, and we're worried about people that may walk in there who are dressing like women to catch a peek. We're worried about all this stuff. But yet, you feel it's okay to bring your 13-year-old daughter into the bathroom with men? What's the age? 323-538-2423. That's the text line. Text me what you think a fair age is as far as, you know, that's just too old to be in. Like 8, 9, 323-538-2423. We do it. It's called What's Next. I want to do a little What's Next for free speech based on something that happened at UC Davis this weekend. And at the bottom of the hour, the ladies will join us today. We'll talk MLK and we'll talk Donald Trump and the inauguration. Of course, I'm talking about Diamond and Silk. They'll join us at the bottom of the hour. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see. What's next?
You know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
Free speech. What's next for free speech? I think we've touched on it before, but I'll tell you what. This weekend, once again, what's next for free speech in the millennial age is that I think is better than just what's next for free speech across the board. I was going to talk about something else, but to me, I found this to be just so interesting. UC Davis over the weekend, Friday night, Milo, our man Milo Yiannopoulos, says, along with one of the other most hated men and vilified men in America, rightly so, because he is he's an idiot and a tool bag, I think at times would be the best way to describe Martin Scorsese, the infamous pharma CEO wonder kid. They were supposed to speak at UC Davis this weekend. They're supposed to have a talk. You know, freedom of speech is under attack in this country, and we are not seeing it, I think, realistically. We think they're a bunch of kids. We think they're a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of, you know, Yahoo millennials. But it is coming under attack. And taking away conversation, discord, debate, and having a real discussion also stops us from moving the ball forward in many things in life when it comes to the issues we have in this country. If we are not going to be able to talk about things and discuss things, there is no way we can ever overcome those things. No way. Your petitions, your marches, because not only do we stop people from talking about them, one side, particularly the left side of the aisle when it comes to this, vilifies people who have a different belief system than them. And they are embracing things like, especially this younger millennial generation, like socialism, tremendously. They think it's a good thing. It's better to let the government make everything A-OK and equal for everybody. And this is what we're going to do. Milo was supposed to speak this week, and that was canceled. He is on his what he calls, it's called his Dangerous Faggot Tour is what it's called. And he's going to be at UC Berkeley. He's going to be at UCI. He's going to be at UCLA. They're already complaining. Now, these are the same places that allow Farrakhan to speak. These are the same places that allow people who have a left-leaning point of view to come and speak. But when they shut out one other point of view, that is not free speech. What's next for free speech is it better realize that it's under attack, and we, the people who cherish it, the people who understand diversity of thought and ideas is true diversity, not the color of your skin, not who you date, not what religion you are, but that's your true diversity. We need to stand up and get these kids to understand this is important, meaning we need to have a different point of view, and we need it to be protected, because if you're not going to protect that speech, wait till you find out that people are going to come for your speech. And I don't think they understand that. Again, they whine, they cry. This is just a bit of what took place the other night. This is his cameraman being assaulted.
Hey, this mother is a Breitbart fascist.
Why?
What did I
do to you?
You're not getting out of my face. Get out of my face with your camera.
You're the one pointing at
me. Breitbart fascist KKK. Hey, somebody get this off me.
Get out of here. Who are you here with? Who are you here for?
I'm here with Milo.
It's insane. These are young kids. Again, when you go to college, this is when you're supposed to embrace ideas. This is when you're supposed to be that rebel, to do those kind of things. But at the same time, you're not supposed to say, I don't want to hear the other side. Freedom of speech is under attack, and the loudest is coming from the left, and the loudest needs to shut up when it comes to allowing other people to speak. You should have every right to speak your mind, and you should speak it and be loud and be proud of whatever it is that you believe, even if it's misguided, or maybe it's not. I don't know. But what you shouldn't do is look at somebody and say, you know what? I don't ever want you to speak here because I don't believe what you believe. My thought process is the only process that's right. Milo is a horrible, hate-mongering fascist. They can call the names they want to call, but heaven forbid that you have a different point of view. It starts in a very small way, but it ends up many ways being the larger thing that takes place. And by the time we realize it's happened, it's too late. We need to be smart and understand that free speech is under attack on campuses. But guess where most of the people, young millennial generation, the largest are? They're going to campuses because they're going to school in droves. And they're coming out and they're thinking it's okay to shout down somebody else's thought process because it doesn't jive with you. That, my friends, is not free speech. That's free speech under attack. What's next for free speech is we better rein it in or it's going to get ugly. And I don't think any of us want that. Learn what diversity truly is, which is diversity of thought and ideas. You don't have to believe in those ideas. You don't have to support those thoughts, but at least listen. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. That's what's next in free speech in the millennial generation. The ladies are going to join us. Diamond and Silk. They were on the Trump train early. They were on the Trump train from the beginning. They have pushed, and they continue to do so. And I think they're going to play some role inside of the campaigns or the cabinet in some way, shape, or form. Some sort of outreach program. I have no idea. We're going to talk to them about the inauguration. We're going to talk to them about MLK. What would MLK think of the outgoing Obama and the incoming Trump? I think it's going to be very interesting to hear what they have to say just a few days away from Trump being president of these here United States. Diamond and Silk joins us straight ahead on the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Less than 90 hours till Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office to become the next president, the 45th president of these here United States of America. These two ladies were on the Trump train long before anybody else. They have followed along. They've played, a pretty decent role inside of helping him along the way. Diamond and Silk join us. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon. I hope you're doing well.
We are doing very well. And first, let's start with the whole incidents and controversy going on with John Lewis and Donald Trump and, you know, in all of these things that are happening, saying it's an illegitimate presidency. That was all Russia's fault that he's here, and it's just unfair. What do you think of this?
You know, I think it's a sad day in America when you have an icon that fought for civil rights, delegitimizing the president-elect, even though he won this, he won this fair and square. But I do think that John Lewis, I think what's happening with him is he's afraid that he's not going to be legitimate because, you know, he's getting up in age. Mm-hmm. So what he want to do is he want to create this fiasco surrounding Donald Trump just to have some kind of legitimacy.
That's right.
Because he understands that these millennials don't even know who John Lewis is.
Right.
So what he's trying to do is still be relevant. And so what people have to do is ignore him and let's keep the ball to moving.
That's right.
You know what, ladies? The funny thing is, and we talked about it earlier today, and we just found out that John Lewis also didn't go to W's inauguration, the first one, because apparently he didn't think he was, you know, also a legitimate president. But, you know, John Lewis, I mean, this is a guy who played a huge role in the civil rights movement. He was a freedom rider. He was a lot of these things. And You're already starting out this way, and now you've got a movement of not just him, but many different Democrats that aren't going to be showing up at the inauguration. And I said to this, take away the person who's becoming president. It's the office in and itself that you should respect. And when they don't do this, this just shows me that there's some sore losers going on here. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This isn't what we're about.
You're absolutely right. They took an oath. And, you know, they need to stand with the country. We voted for Donald Trump, and that's what's important. But look at the whole Klan. Look at how they're sticking together. They're going to not show up, and that's fine. But what they're not going to do is think that they're going to get up there and not work with Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
And not work for the American people. You know, when people voted these people in, or when we voted these people in, we sent them to do a job. We don't work for them. They work for us.
That's
and if
right.
they don't do their job, they need to start packing their bags and they can catch Obama on their way out.
Because, right.
you know, you're going to have the moving truck right there in front of the White House on January the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. Talk to Diamond Silk. You know what? It is interesting, ladies. And I'm looking at this again. We're less than 90 hours away from him being sworn in. You've got all of this stuff with the inauguration going on. It's insane to think that so many people are afraid. Again, it's another one of these things where people don't honor the place of the presidency and what it means. Because, you know, God forbid that you show up and you sing a song, because if you do, you're automatically lumped into, you know, Donald Trump's agenda or whatever. What is going on with us?
Well, you know, it's so sad when the left bully people. That's what you call, yes. Those are bully tactics that the left is using, that anybody that want to perform or anybody that want to take a part in the inauguration, well, I'm going to bully you into silence.
Right.
And that's what we have to stop doing. You know, anybody that voted Democrat, what they did, they voted for a liberal agenda. You are a slave to that liberal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to start standing up for themselves. You know, they can't make me go sit down. I am going to stand up for what's right. And anybody that wants to perform should be able to go up there for the inaugural, perform,
right.
serve the country, perform for the president, do what you're supposed to do, and then go home. But see, that's the left. When they push their agenda, they bully people, and people get scared. A lot of people don't have a lot of guts. It takes guts.
That's right.
To stand up to people, and people just don't have that. You got to be made for that.
No, you're right.
I wish I could sing, because I'm made for it. You won't bully me.
You know what? I would love it. Might as well let you sing anyway. It's going to be you and Toby Keith and Three Doors Down at this rate. You know, they ain't afraid. I mean, Toby Keith, and I'm telling you, man, Kid Rock showing up somewhere. Talking to Diamond and Silk as we talk about the inauguration. So the inauguration will end, and then day one gets underway. What are you expecting that this president's going to do in these first 100 days, especially this first week or so, where the anticipation of everybody having all of their rights taken away from them is so, you know, so hotly debated on college campuses and philosophy courses around the world?
Well, you know what? I think that the first thing he's going to do is he's going to work on that Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to repeal it and replace it with something else. And then he's going to start pushing his agenda, the stuff that he wants to do. I believe he's going to start working on the inner and urban cities.
Mm-hmm.
You see that he's talking to many different African-Americans. You see Martin Luther King Jr. was there talking to him today. Steve Harvey was there the other day. So I think that things are going to fall into place within the first 100 days. And if they don't, then he's going to be looking around to see who's going to get fired.
And then also check Donald Trump's track record out. If you look, Donald Trump has did more for the American people in the last 8 weeks than President Obama have did in the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's you know right. what? He is making the effort to do some stuff. I'll tell you that.
That's
and
right.
it's going to be interesting to see how he takes it on, ladies. You know, you talked about Martin Luther King, and today's Martin Luther King Day. You know, we've got the controversy with John Lewis and several other Democrats. But, you know, I tweeted out something earlier. Is what do you think that Martin Luther King would make both of Donald Trump and of President Barack Obama?
You know, I think that he would have looked and it's just like Martin Luther King Jr. said today. If his father was alive, he would be wondering, why is it that 60 million people are living in poverty? You know, when I look at the left, especially when I look at the African-American community, the Black community, upset, arguing, bickering about this or that, John Lewis bickering about this or that. Well, why wasn't you protesting when we just had the first black president that was not pushing these agendas when it comes to the justice system and people having equal rights? He really wasn't pushing that. He was pushing his own agenda. Why wasn't you protesting then? So I believe that if Martin Luther King was alive today, he would be looking like, wait a minute, this is not being united. We have an incoming president that is about to be sworn in. And then you have all of these Democrats saying, well, we don't feel like his presidency is legitimate and people got out and voted for him. Right. This is sad and it's sick. And I don't believe that Martin Luther King would like what John Lewis is doing today. Right. You have to give credit where credit is due. Donald Trump won this hands down. Give it to him because he won it hands down.
That's right.
And then they're going to have to get in there and they're going to have to work with him. And if not, we're going to be figuring out how we're going to vote them out.
That's right.
You know what? You said something about getting there and working with them. You already see the Democrats. And look, it turnabout's fair play. The Republicans played hardball from day one with Obama, and it was not an easy ride for him. But he had the first 2 years where everything was his way. And then it was definitely 6 years of fighting and some gridlock and stuff. And the Democrats are already saying, you know, the same kind of stuff. How does that make you feel knowing that they're going in here already and their whole goal is to watch the president fail and to do all they can to stop him at every turn?
Well, you know, it don't make me feel good, but it's going to give Diamond and Silk something to talk about on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
Because what they not going to do is go up there and do nothing and leave Black people in urban cities holding an empty bag once again. We got a new president that's different, okay? Mm-hmm. He's an outsider. He's telling you what he want to do for inner and urban cities, how he want to secure us. He's telling you different things. They not going to go sit down on him or we going to talk about them like a dog. The American people gonna see these Democrats for who they were. They're gonna see them. They're gonna get to see it.
You know, you talk about the inner city and stuff, and we said earlier today, wouldn't it be hilarious if a year from now, if we had some peace in the Middle East and that Jared Kushner had gone over and gotten a room with the Palestinians and the Israelis and just said, look, you guys are gonna fix this crap. You're gonna do it now. You're gonna act like adults. And then we turn around and we've got jobs and we've got places like Detroit starting to make a mini comeback and stuff, and people starting to see some sort of light at the end of a tunnel in what they felt has been a very stagnant last two decades with employment and this, that, and the other. And it's like, where would you go then, people who want to bitch about so much? It may happen, it may not happen, but wouldn't it be funny because everybody is so expecting him to fall flat on his face?
Well, listen, it is going to be funny because he's going to do it.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, and this is why the left is in panic. Because Donald Trump is about to put the left to shame. Mm-hmm. You mean you all been up here all of these years and you ain't done nothing for the inner and urban cities? Mm-hmm. You don't know how to secure a wall, the borders. You don't know how to stop outsourcing our jobs. And I had to get here, the outsider, to show y'all how it's done. He is going to make them look shame. And so what they're trying to do is paint this dark cloud of doubt over his administration, over his presidency, even before he's about to be sworn in. But you know what? The American people ain't going to let that happen. We see right through this okey-doke. This ain't nothing but okey-doke and pure mess.
Talking to the ladies, Diamond and Silk. You guys, are you heading to the inauguration?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we were invited by the man himself. And not only that, we got our official invite in the mail, so we will be at the inauguration.
Well, you know what, ladies? You guys have a very kick-ass and enjoyable day. You enjoy it. I think you worked really damn hard for it, and you made some people think along the way, and I think it's amazing. Be safe, though, because I'm telling you, there's some cuckoos out there, and I want you two to be safe. That's my main thing, is having fun and being safe, but I like being safe this time as the number one thing.
Yes, sir. We will be safe, and we plan to have fun, take plenty of pictures, and we're going to be doing some Facebook Live in that day, too.
All right. You join. And how does everybody check you out?
Diamond and Silk, diamondandsilkstore.com, Facebook, Diamond and Silk, Twitter, Diamond and Silk. Everything is Diamond and Silk.
Ladies, as always, you have a good time. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I just love it. They're infectious. As the people tweeted in and said, I love these ladies. And it's funny because when I get people who hate these ladies, they say some horrible things. A lot of times it's other African-Americans who can't stand them, call them Aunt Toms and things like that. It is just – It's we eat our own, don't we? Sometimes we will, if that's the way we feel like we got to police and eat our own. Heaven forbid you have your own thought. Oh my God, heaven forbid. The Chad Benson Show Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Little say what? Allergies, not to peanuts. Wait till you hear what this woman's allergic to. Oh man, Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Say what?
Last night, after the Pittsburgh Steelers won their game, Mike Tomlin was giving the speech, getting his guys ready for what they'll be doing this next week, and of course, who they'll be taking on, which is the New England Patriots. And he was telling his guys, you need to keep your mouth shut. You need not say anything. He called the Patriots a-holes. He said a bunch of other things. And all of this was going on live. Because you have Facebook Live and you have a bunch of guys who thought it was funny to post Tomlin's things, including Antonio Brown, their best player, who put that out there. Yes, there was some not nice things said. This is the world we live in now. I say it because I mean it. We live in this world where everybody wants to do something and they all think it's funny. And man, you got to watch what you say all the time, because just because you're not filming it doesn't mean somebody else isn't filming it. I'm allergic to my husband. Allergies. Say what? Yes. Tell you what, man, this guy, 29-year-old Johanna Watkins from Minnesota can't kiss her husband. Can't even be in the same room. Not because she's disgusted by the looks of him or his attitude or that maybe he even voted for Trump. No. It's because of his scent. That's right. Date nights are weird, they say. They can't even be in the same room watching a show together. She's allergic to him. He will be three floors below in a room on his laptop, and I will be on mine. We'll watch the show at the same time. Text about it. Etc., etc. She has mast cell activation syndrome, which means that she's allergic to pretty much everything. It wasn't always this way. When they first started going out, things seemed to be okay. But then it started to get progressively worse. They used to like to go hiking together. She worked as a teacher. She struggled with some unusual rashes at first, an irritable bowel syndrome, then migraines. But these ailments became much worse after the couple were married. There were 3 or 4 years ago when they said they got the diagnosis, and it's been tough, but they've become extra close.
This
is the question, right? Like when you talk about this, right? So you talk about this knowing full well you cannot be in the same room. Knowing full well that you cannot touch her, knowing full well she cannot smell you or be a... Knowing all of those things, when I saw this, what's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind, Producer Phil?
Oh, I don't want to say it.
Say it.
No, you say it. It's your show.
Does he get to go out and date? Does he have... it sounds horrible, right? Like, it sounds horrible. You could love your wife. She says she can only tolerate 15 foods. She eats beef chunk roast, beef stew with organic celery, carrots, and parsnips, or organic lamb with cinnamon and cucumber. But you add that is a question, right? I mean, that's a question because we need human interaction and we need touch and we need all of those things. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, like, does he get, is there somebody she's not allergic to? Is it just him? You ask that. I mean, it's got to be horrible to be allergic to that much stuff. I mean, could you, like, you hear stories about people who are allergic to water, people who are allergic to this. You know, she's had issues. She smelled smoking one time, had a huge problem. Pizza, oh, my God, she's got an allergy to pizza.
That's just wrong.
That is wrong. That's un-American, ma'am, is what I'm saying. They said, despite all of these things, despite her special soap and shower, She has to avoid eating spicy food. She has to, you know, I mean, and this is the only time, I mean, that they're allowed to see each other so very rarely. They take all of these precautions, but even then, after their visit, she becomes worse and worse after he visits. But that's the first thing. It's like, you know, and he said, look, this is it. This is what he's doing. He cooks her food. He shows up. She can only eat two meals. She eats the same two meals every day. And he says, she says she's committed to her husband. And he says he's still there. But you have to ask yourself, knowing what you know, and this is both of them, right? Like, but knowing what you know, if you had that and you could go back and do a redo, do you think he'd say yes? Probably not. Maybe he would. Maybe he's a better human being than me, which is probably true. Most people are.
Chad, but you're a jerk.
Chad is a massive jerk. But I err on the side of reality. And if the reality would be that in 3 years, you're going to become uber allergic to me, we can never touch, kiss, have any intimacy, we can't even be in the same room together. It sounds like a normal marriage. But the truth is that if I get around you, I make you even extra sick. Well, it all sounds like a normal marriage, doesn't it? Chad, you're a super jerk. I'm thinking the answer would be no. I think if you asked most men and women after 3 years, they'd probably say, no, I probably wouldn't do it again. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Say what? You can text these here programs, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. This be the one and only Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.